I appreciate the good singing. And thank God for good Sunday school this morning. I do wish we'd loosen up just a tad bit. Amen. Just a tad bit would be good. And, you know, I've got something. What I'm going to say this morning, it's not on. Maybe I turned on the mute. Somebody said amen to that. That's exactly what I did. I don't suppose I want to be heard. Is that any better, Brother Robert? All right. I ask you to pray also, Brother Robert, for Miss Sharon and Justin. They're homesick today, and Lisa's not doing well. Pray for them especially this morning. They was missing in the prayer room, so I ask you to pray for them in a special way, okay? All right. What I'm going to say this morning, when I first got the thought, it looked like it was way out here this big. The more I tried to work something up on it, the littler it got. And so the Lord don't get in it, and I don't know what we'll probably be out here in just a few minutes this morning and be on our merry way. But I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Esther and chapter number 4 in the book of Esther, if you would please. Esther and chapter number 4. And I'd like to take time this morning to read the entire book of Esther. If you're trying to find it in your Bible, it's right before the book of Job. Esther and chapter number 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12. And then I'll bring us up to this point in the introduction and bring a thought here and then two other places in the Bible, okay? Let me read the text. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." In other words, if you don't want to be used of God, God will use somebody else. He wants to use you, Esther. But if you're not willing to be used, God will use somebody else. Same way in our life. God wants to use us, but if we're not willing to be used, God will use somebody else. It says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade him return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." What a wonderful statement that is. If I perish, I perish. I'd like to preach on that this morning. However, that's not my thought that I'm going to be dealing with, but I may mention it somewhat in the message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the privilege of being in the house of God. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the songs we've been able to sing. I pray you'll take thy word this morning, stir our hearts, Lord, and bless us as only you can. Do a great work in each of us. Draw us closer unto thee. Bless us, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. Twice in these verses that I read in your hearing this morning, the word time is used. In verse 14, he talks about having peace at this time. And in verse number 14 also, he talks about for such a time as this. Now, I want to try to preach this morning, if God will help me, on three different places that I find in the Bible the word time, and the great meaning that it has behind it. Time is a very valuable commodity to all of us. Because once it's gone never to be retracted again. You can never bring time back. Those things that you did in that time, you can never do them over. Once they're done, they're done. No wonder Pilate said, "What I've written, I have written." He couldn't write anything else. Because he had already said when he crucified the Lord, he had already said that. But I find three places. There's more than three. But I find three places in the Word of God that that word is used that I want to try to deal with for just a little while here this morning. Now, the book of Esther is an amazing book. It's an amazing book. And that's where I'm starting from. That's where I want to give you my introduction from. It's an amazing book indeed. Although the word God is not found anywhere on the pages of that book, yet the providence of God is found no clearer in any other book in the Bible than it is in the book of Esther. I'm talking about the providence of God in His watch care over His people. Now, as we begin the book of Esther, in chapter number 1, it begins by the king Ahasuerus, and he's having what we would call today a big shindig. Or we might say that Donald Trump and all his staff has called everybody into the White House, and they're going to have a big get-together for all the dignitaries. And all of a sudden, Donald decides he wants to have his wife to come out and show her beauty to the men that are there. Because that's exactly what Ahasuerus wanted to do. He called for Vashti, the queen, to come and let everybody there, all the dignitaries, look upon her beauty. But she done something that's not known to be done in those days. It could have cost her her life. She refused to do that. And so the king set her aside and for, I think, a while, wondered within himself what he should do. And one of his lieutenants came up with the idea, let's go in every province in the kingdom and we'll find certain virgins, and we'll bring those virgins into Shushan the palace. We'll give them to him that rules over the house of the virgins. And within a year, we'll bring a queen into the king. And you know, by the providence of God, I don't believe in accidents. And you'll see this more as I get to the story. It's not an accident, but through the divine providence of God and the wisdom of a man named Mordecai, a little Jewish girl by the name of Esther was one of those virgins, a beautiful young lady that had been chosen to go in and to properly make herself available to the king and let him make his choice of who he wanted for queen. And I don't believe it was an accident that King Ahasuerus chose that little Jew and put her in as queen. That gave her some place of authority with the king. But, you know, there was also another man in this early verses, a man by the name of Haman, a very cruel, a very ungodly man, a man that despised and hated the Jews in that day. And he had very wily way, had caused the king to make a decree that all the Jews should be put to death. And that decree went out throughout all the kingdom. And Mordecai realized what was happening. And you got to understand, there was no hope. Once the king signed that writing, there was no hope and no way out of this thing. For the word of the Medes and the Persians could not be broken. And let me say this also. This began from the captivity of Judah in the land of the Chaldees. Nebuchadnezzar has gone off the scene. There's already been a group of the Jews that went back to Jerusalem to rebuild. But there was also a group that remained there in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And they were basically the ones that really didn't want to fight the battles and going back. But I'm going to tell you something. If you belong to God, you're not going to get out of the battle. It don't matter whether you're back there or up here. There's a battle to be fought. And God's going to see to it that the troubles and the trials come our way. And we might as well brace ourselves and prepare ourselves, because they're coming. And by the grace and help and through the providence of God, we'll win that battle if we want to. We want to. But now, Esther has come on the scene as the queen. And the Jews are ready to be destroyed. And so word comes from Mordecai for Esther to go in unto the king. And at the first response, her first response was no. She would not. She refused Mordecai. She wouldn't go in before the king, because to go in without his call was sure death. But on the second time that Mordecai told her to go in unto the king, she made the statement, if you go fast, get all the people in the provinces to fast 3 days, my maidens and I will do the same. And I'll go in unto the king, and if I perish, then I perish. And after those days, she went into the outer, to the inner court, and the king extended that golden scepter, and she went in. Of course, you know the rest of the story. By the grace of God and the providence of God, the Jews were spared. Those that sought their death were put to death themselves, and they had won a great victory indeed. But in this part of the scripture, Mordecai asks Esther, or makes a statement to Esther, that do you realize that possibly that you were brought to this place for a time like this? Could I ask you and myself that question this morning? Do we really believe that God has brought us here for a time such as this? Just like it is now. Can I say to you that no other generation can do for God what this generation can do now for God? Those behind us are behind us. They can do no more than what they've done, and them out in the future, their time has not yet arrived. But you and I can do what we can do for the Lord right now, for such a time as this. And I want to say that it's no accident that we're here where we are in America. It's no accident that we are where we are in the world. May I say to you that man is not in control of what's going on in this world. It may appear from time to time that man is having his way with God, but I'm telling you, God's going to come out on top, and God does rule in the affairs of men. You can mark that down. You're looking at one preacher that definitely believes in the providence of Almighty God. He didn't just create us, set us out in the world, and walk away from us, and leave us unto ourselves. And he's certainly not going to leave his people to themselves. Those Jews that were there in the provinces were the people of God. And just like he was taking care of the remnant that returned to Jerusalem, in like manner he was taking care of those that were left in the province. Now, under the rule of Ahasuerus, the king of the Medes and the Persians. And they were there for such a time as this. This time. No other time. For what's taking place right now, I'm going to tell you something. We need to look around us and ask ourselves the question, do we really realize that God's got us here right now for such a time as this? I'm just going to mention a few things. What kind of a time was this in the life of those Jews? May I say it was a time of great perplexity? It says so in verse number 15 of chapter 3. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. They were living in a time of great perplexity. They were confused. The situation troubled them. The situation bothered them. And in fact, they had no hope of overcoming. The decree had been signed. The Jews were to be put to death. And there was no way out of it, humanly speaking, in their eyes. But Mordecai said, maybe we've been brought to here for such a time as this. So it was a time of perplexity, confusion. Things were complicated and very baffling. May I say to you that we're seeing that today in our country? I want to make a hard statement that some of you are not going to believe. But it don't matter whether you really believe it or not. I'm going to say it. It doesn't matter who's listening out there. I'm still going to say it. And I want you to hear it well. America, our country, is living in one of the most perilous, troublesome times that we've ever seen in our land. And you can write this down in your little black book if you carry one of them. Unless God divinely intervenes, we are headed for a civil war in our country that will make the civil war between the states look like a baby fight. I'm telling you that we're today in America, we're wrestling between with ideologies. This side has their ideologies. This side has their ideologies, and neither one of them are going to budge an inch. And if the liberals have their say-so about it, I'm telling you, they're going to usher in a country that we have never known living in America. It is on its way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I never saw it until this morning, but I'm telling you, they are foolish to believe such a stupid thing as that. Hey, what did Mordecai say to Esther? If I can paraphrase it, he said, just because you're in the king's house, don't you think or believe for one minute that you will escape death. Because if death comes to the Jews, it'll come into the palace just like it comes in the place of those that are in poverty. And those of you that are in the palace will die in like manner, just like those who are dying out yonder in poverty. Now, Brother Hall, somebody said, Brother Hall, why did you say that? Because those fools, and I'll repeat, those fools that are doing all they can to change the laws of our country, they're hiding with political clout. They think they've got political power. And because they're somebodies, they've got the idea that they can hide from the destruction that's on its way. But I'm telling you, there's no place to hide from it. If you think for one minute that those Muslims and those countries that are doing their best to infiltrate America, that they might overturn the government and authority in America, if you think for one minute they're going to leave those in the White House or those in Congress, they're going to let them alone just because they pulled for them, you're crazier than a nut, friend. We're headed for troublesome times. But has it ever occurred that God brought us here for such a time as this? I'm telling you, hey, that little girl made a bold statement. She said, I'll go in, and if I perish, I perish. Can I put it to you in the words of the Word of God? Are we ready? Brother Steve was right in Sunday school. Are we ready to lay our life down for Jesus this morning? We better be prepared to take a stand while looking death in the face. Because I'm telling you, if those people with their communistic ideologies, amen, and their liberal ideologies have their way about it, we are going to be looking death square in the face. Do you realize, never in my lifetime have I ever seen Christian people hated like they're hated in America today. God's people, just like they were in the province of the Medes and the Persians, by Haman, hated enough to devise a law that would have them all put to death. I'm telling you, somebody said, it won't happen. Don't go to Germany and tell them it won't happen. It happened to the Jews there. It would have happened to the Jews here. And I promise you it will happen to those of us that call ourselves Christians here. And we better be prepared to look the devil square in the face and this bunch of liberals in the face and take a stand where we are for such a time as this.
Amen. Amen.
Now, listen carefully. What did Esther do? She said, you go gather all the Jews together and fast and pray for 3 days. I'll get my maidens and we'll do the same thing. And then I'll go in. If I perish, I perish. What time is it, Brother Hall? What time was this? It was a time of preparation and prayer. They got on their knees before God. I wonder if we're really willing as a church to get on our knees before God. Amen. God is able. Church, can I say to you, God has not forsaken His people. Never have I seen the dark hour in my lifetime that we're living in today. But I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God, God has not forsaken His people. He still holds us dear and near to His very heart, and God has not forsaken us. Oh no, He that gave His life, He that laid down His life, shed His life's blood, and rose again. He that suffered like no other man, He that was rejected and spit upon, loves those of us that He died for, and He's called us by His marvelous grace into this wonderful life wherein we stand. Now, I call that this morning, I call that a time like this. Now, I want to mention another time. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians. And I go there first for one simple reason. It was actually, I've got another one that I may go to, but I want to go here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He said, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Can I ask you when now is? Now is now. Now will always be now. But then, don't get mad at me. But to interpret that verse 2, you got to interpret verse number 1. Where Paul said, we then as workers together with you beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, hey, now is only now when the grace of God has been preached, when the gospel has been heard. Because he said, I don't want the grace of God. I don't want you to hear the grace of God in vain. In other words, I want you to do something with the grace of God. Can I ask you this morning, can I ask you this morning, has now ever come in your life? If it hasn't, now don't get mad at me. But if you're sitting under the gospel, if you've heard the Word of God preached and it's settled in your heart, then don't always be troubled by it. Stay where you are, amen. And as sure as I'm where I'm standing, your time will come. Amen. Now is the accepted time. Amen. Now will come for you. Amen. Now I'm going to show you exactly how I'm going to prove it to you. There was a little boy by the name of Zacchaeus. He heard that Jesus was coming to town. He climbed up a tree. Jesus passed right under the very tree where he was at. Looked up in it and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today is salvation come to your house. His now was right then under that tree.
Right.
There was a man by the name of Bartimaeus.
And by the way, Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus both were saved on the Lord's last trip to Jericho. And as he was going out of Jericho, Bartimaeus heard a cry that Jesus was coming through. And he called out, "Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy upon me." They tried to hush his mouth, but the more they tried, the louder he got. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought and asked him, "What wilt thou have me do?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And he was saved by the grace of God. Bartimaeus' time came now. Now I'm going to say this to you. I don't know what Zacchaeus and I don't know what Bartimaeus done all the years of their life before this point. But I can tell you one man in John chapter number 5, and I thought it was an amazing thing that this was mentioned to me this morning. There was a man that had an infirmity in John 5 related to Pool of Bethesda, and he had been there for 38 years. Waiting for the moving of the water. And all the water had to do was be moved in the first one into that water. The Bible said was, if I can paraphrase it, was saved by the grace of God. When the Lord came through, he asked him, he said, "Will thou be made whole?" And he said, "Lord, I would, but when the water is troubled, I have no man to help me. No man to help me. And someone gets into the water before I do." I want to ask you a question. How many years had that man been laying at that pool? He didn't go anywhere. 38 years he waited for his now. 38 years. Did now come for him? As sure as I'm living, now come for him. Wonder how many times the water had been stirred. And he was unable to get in. I wonder how many times some of you that the water's been stirred and you wasn't able to get in or still not able to get in. Come on in the house, children. But I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God, if you've heard the gospel, stay with God. Stand fast in the Lord. Don't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Stay where you are with your heart anchored in Jesus. And I'm telling you, as sure as Gary Hall is living, your now will come. Yeah, some of y'all look dumbfounded. Took that man 38 years waiting. But his now rolled around. Amen. I don't see where he got antsy. I can't find where he got beside himself and worried and aggravated. I don't even see where he was unstable. He just laid there and waited. Can I ask you what you can do? We're not saved by works of righteousness. We're saved by the mercy and grace of God. There is not one rat-tailed, stinking thing you can do to be saved. If you're sitting here under the gospel and you've heard the gospel, there's not one thing that you can do to be saved. If God doesn't save you or God doesn't save me, we're going to hell as sure as I'm where I'm at. But there is a now. And where it was a time like this, this is an accepted time. There is a time that we've been made accepted in the Beloved. Yeah. Woo! My now rolled around September the 13th, 1970, lost and on my way to hell, but my now rolled around in a little Southern Baptist church in Scottsburg, Indiana. Amen. My now. I was accepted in the Beloved. And I'm telling you, don't give up on God. Amen. No, no. Don't give up on God. 38 years this man lay there. And his time rolled around. I call this an accepted time. There's a time like this, and there's an accepted time. But there's one more time found in the book of Romans, chapter number 13. Verse 8. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put beyond the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, there's that word time again in verse 11. It's not a time like this, and it's not an accepted time, but it's high time. Amen. And it's high time that you awake out of your sleep. Yes, for your salvation is nearer than when you believed. Now, hang right with me. What is this high time? That word high means the latest possible moment. The latest possible moment. It's high time. You can't wait any longer. It's time now to get busy. But what were they to get busy about? You've got to interpret in the text that it's written in. Virtually every one of these verses deals with sanctification. Deals with living a holy, sanctified, dedicated life for Christ. Now I want to say to you, I believe the message Paul is trying to get, and it was pertinent then, it's pertinent now. The Lord's return is soon. I don't know how soon, but I do know that He's coming. And now is the accepted. Now it is high time. Now it is high time. It's come to a place where the cup is ready to run over. There is not a moment to lose, Paul said. Not a moment to lose. Now it is high time. It's high time for you and I. To wake before sudden destruction comes upon us. What about the 10 virgins? Right. 5 foolish and 5 wise. The wise took their lamps, took oil in their lamps, and the foolish had no oil. And at midnight a cry was made, the bridegroom cometh. And that foolish crowd had absolutely nothing, no oil. No oil in their lamps. But those that were wise took their lamps with their oil. They went out to meet the bridegroom. The others went in town to buy oil, and while they were going, the bridegroom come, and they were left. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, hey, it is high time that we awake out of our sleep and do what, Brother Hall? It's high time that we awake out of our sleep and get busy about following the commandments in this Bible. What about, oh no man, anything but to love one another? Do we really love one another? Or are we putting on one of those hypocrite faces? You know what a hypocrite face is? They used to use them in the old movies. They'd hold a card over their face, make them look like something they wasn't. Yeah. I wonder how many people today are really making themselves look like something they're not. Right. If we've really got the goods, we're going to love one another. Because Christ is love and Christ lived within you and I. We can't help but to love one another. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said blood's thicker than water. Yeah, if it's the right blood. But I'm going to tell you something. The only blood that's any thicker than this water is Jesus' blood. Hey, your kinfolk ain't thicker than this water, friend. Amen, it is high time that we love one another. Husbands, love your wives. I'm talking about the highest commandment in the Bible is to love. Christ loved the world and gave Himself for it. You can't get any higher than that. What a virtue is this thing called love. I'm going to tell this. I hope my wife don't mind. I'll try to be done in a minute. We were sitting at the house last night, looking on the computer. She was sitting over here and I was over here, and she had already took her heart thing out. I thought sure she was going into AFib. And I looked over at her for a moment, and I thought I saw her clothes moving, and I thought I saw her heart. It looked like to me it was just... And I broke down and started crying. And she said, "Honey, do you see something on the computer? It's got..." She said... I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, you're all emotional. Have you seen something there that's causing you to get emotional like that?" I said, "No, sweetheart. I was emotional over you." Oh, my heart broke when I thought that the lady in my life might be sick. The woman God gave me might be ill. When I thought she might be in pain in her body, agonizing in pain, it ripped through my heart like throwing a dagger through it. Now, I'm telling you, I realized more then than ever before that I do love that woman, in spite of what she might think. I do love that woman. Whoa, I'm telling you, there's no other woman on earth like that woman to me right over there. For 50 long years we've been together. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'd gladly spend 50 more. But what I want to spend 50 more years for, woo! We can go to heaven and live together forever. Amen. Love. Amen. And I thought this thought, if I love her enough to break down and weep with broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite spirit, I broke over her, thinking she might be going through some kind of pain in her heart. How much more did Jesus pain in His heart for you and I when He hanged on Calvary between heaven and earth? When God saw the travail of His soul, can we not get a hold of that? Oh, the travail of His soul. He was in agony. He was in pain. He was in suffering. And He did it all for you. And He did it all for me. There is no reason under the sun today that we ought not to lay hold on Christ and refuse to turn loose. And love Him with our heart, mind, body, and soul. And give Him everything that we have. If He loved us with such a love that He died that cruel death. You know what I think was the greatest pain that He suffered on the tree was when every man rejected Him and went away from Him. Even those that He loved. Can you get a hold of that? Men? That He went away. He was rejected by those that were near to Him. Peter went away. Thomas went away. As far as I know, the only one there was John at that cross. John's mother. The others had fled. Not to mention all the disciples themselves, the apostles themselves had fled. Those that are in the inner circle had fled and were gone. Wonder how Christ felt. But you know something? He didn't chide them. Not one time did He chide them, Miss Sandy. For 3 days later, He went to, found them in an upper room, and He walked through the doors being shut and walked in. And said, "Peace be unto you." They had just said they don't want Him. Peter just lied about even knowing Him. And still, He walked in that upper room and said, "Peace
be unto you.
That's His message for us today when we're living in a time like this. For such a time as this, He's saying, peace be unto you. At an accepted time like this, He's saying, peace be unto you. For a high time, when there's no time to spare, no time to lose, the cup is full. It's do it now or don't do it at all. His message is still the same. Peace be unto you. He loves you this morning. In spite of what we've done, who we are, He loves even me. Even me with all my sin. He loves. I could go on and talk about honesty and all that stuff. There's no need to do that. I think you got the context here. That the high time is talking about the sanctification of our life. Dedicating our life. Not sanctification. Necessarily putting on a dress and cutting your hair right. Shaving right and all, whatever you want to call it. No. But the inward man. Love and honesty. And things of that nature is what He speaks about here. Such a time as this, God's put us here. He's put us here in an accepted time like this. He's put us here at a high time like this. Now what are we going to do with it? That's up to us. What we do with the time that He's given us to do it in. Let's stand. Now I've done the best I could. I struggled through whether to just preach the one point or two points or all the points. I could even went on. In the book of Samuel, at a time when kings go forth to battle. You know where King David was? At a time when kings go forth to battle. David was on a rooftop watching a naked woman. That would have cost him, but very little. He went on to commit such atrocities. Committed adultery with that woman, that was bad enough. But when he had her husband put to death, that was a cap. That was a capstone. Heavenly Father, thank You for the morning hour. I pray as we sing this morning, You'll speak to every heart. Help us to realize, Lord, that we're here for such a time as this. And it's high time that we awake out of our sleep. Our salvation is nearer than when we believe. I believe back in 1970 that my salvation, my deliverance, my heavenly home is nearer right now than it was when I believed. Nearer than it's ever been before. Now I pray You'll bless Your people in an abundant way. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. What were we saying, brother? 153. 100 what?
53.
153 in your hymn book.